All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Las Vegas.
It's more than just a city.
It's a feeling.
It's that feeling of excitement when you spot the lights of the strip out the airplane window.
It's that feeling of awe as you stroll down the boulevard, taking in the sights and sounds.
And it's that feeling of satisfaction knowing that you're in the greatest city in the world.
Over 42 million people from around the world share that feeling every year.
And I'm one of them.
Taking you to the world-famous Vegas Strip and beyond, my name is Jeff, and this is Jeff Does Vegas. Welcome to From the Vault, a special series of episodes of Jeff Does Vegas. Over the 5 years I ran this podcast, from 2019 to 2024, I released over 180 episodes. And along the way, I talked to some very cool Vegas insiders, entertainers, and local experts. I also shared lots of tips and travel advice and explored the fascinating history of the city. I thought it might be fun to take a little trip back in time and reshare some of those episodes. So, whether you're a longtime follower looking for a re-listen, or you're a Vegas fanatic who just happened to stumble across the show, welcome. I hope you'll stick around for this conversation from the vault. Did you know that just under 2% of the world's population uses a wheelchair, and nearly 20% have a disability that limits one or more activities of daily living? If you were to apply that math to Las Vegas, that would mean roughly 840,000 wheelchair users and almost 8.5 million people with different levels of accessibility requirements travel to Vegas every single year. I'm active in numerous Las Vegas-related Facebook groups, and I often see questions posed by people who are apprehensive about visiting the city due to their perception that Vegas isn't very wheelchair-friendly. I wanted to be able to break that perception, so I reached out to an expert on the subject of accessible travel. John Morris is the founder and creator of WheelchairTravel.org, a website where he shares his own personal experiences of traveling as a wheelchair user. And like me, John is also a frequent Vegas visitor. We discussed accessible hotels in Las Vegas, the challenges of navigating the Vegas Strip in a wheelchair, and the best and most accessible ways to get around the city. We also went in depth on the subject of air travel as a wheelchair user. Please enjoy my conversation with John Morris.
I had a car accident in 2012, and prior to that, I was a global traveler. I jetted off on the weekends to faraway destinations and loved that aspect of my life and identity. But I had a car accident, and that really changed the calculus. I was told as I laid in a hospital bed that I would probably not travel again. And that wasn't something that I was willing to accept. And so I started looking into how to make accessible travel possible for myself. And there weren't a whole lot of resources out there. And as I began traveling, I realized that there was an opportunity to share the insights that I was gaining with a larger population. When I founded the website, I had no idea how many disabled people, one, were out in the world, and two, how many of those people wanted to travel. The CDC here in the United States says that up to 25% of Americans have one or more disabilities. And as I built the website out, I was shocked at the number of people that were reaching out and asking for more information and information on destinations that I hadn't covered yet. And so it's really something that was a surprise to me, but I'm thrilled about it. I'm thrilled to have the opportunity to connect members of the disability community to the world.
It's incredible when you can take something like that, that as you say, seems so tragic and so negative, and turn around and spin it into a positive, not just for yourself, but for other people as well.
It has been a blessing. That's really, I think, the best way to describe it. I'm thrilled with the opportunity to travel as frequently as I do. But I'm also excited when my readers write to me and say, hey, I used your information to explore this new destination, or even better, I've been to a place that you haven't been to, and I'd like to share some insights from my own trip. I'm really trying to build a community around empowering disabled people to explore.
And how long ago did you build the website?
I founded it at the end of 2014. My car accident was in 2012. Took me a little while to recover and get out there and then dream up the vision for the website. But now it's got very detailed information in the form of accessible travel guides to more than 50 cities around the world. And I've got quite a backlog of content that I still need to publish for destinations beyond those.
It's always fun when you have that backlog of content, isn't it?
Well, you know, it's great to have it all ready to go back there, but it definitely is a lot of work.
John, I wanted to get you on the podcast to have a conversation about accessible travel, specifically as it relates to Las Vegas, but accessible travel in general. And I think a good place to start is air travel. Every journey to Vegas, pretty much every journey to Vegas, starts at the airport. So let's talk a little bit about that. How are airlines doing when it comes to dealing with disabled travelers?
Well, I think the short of it is that they're doing poorly. You know, it's sad to say, I'm an aviation geek. I love to fly, but I'm very much an outsider in the disability community in that despite all the challenges, I still love to fly. There are a significant range of challenges that travelers are facing when they arrive at the airport. Everything from wheelchair assistance not being available, missed connections due to the lack of that assistance, delays in getting on and off the aircraft, and then something that I'm pretty familiar with is damage to personal mobility devices. In 2022, my power wheelchair was destroyed twice. So that obviously is a very significant issue that needs more attention on the part of air carriers, so that, you know, disabled folks can have a stress-free journey. That's the goal, I think, that really needs to be accomplished.
What do you think airlines could be doing better?
Well, I think one of the challenges that we're seeing right now has a lot to do with staffing in this post-pandemic period. We know that demand for air transportation, particularly domestic air transportation, rebounded a lot more quickly than I think airlines imagined. And there are definitely staffing issues, limited staff unable to rise to meet the demand for assistance that disabled travelers have. Obviously, safe handling of mobility equipment is really crucial. That's a win-win situation if that problem can be solved. It reduces the liability on air carriers and prevents major life disruptions for disabled people who rely on wheelchairs and other forms of mobility equipment for their independence. And I think a long-term goal that I hope will be more shorter-term is finding a way to get a wheelchair space on the aircraft. You know, I can take my wheelchair on a city bus, on a train, in a taxi, and I think that same possibility should exist within the air travel realm.
You mentioned that you've traveled and you've flown all over the world. How are U.S. carriers doing compared to other airlines elsewhere in the world? Do you find they're better or are they worse?
Well, I think it depends on the day, to be honest. Any airport around the world can have a bad day. Any airline can fail a customer. There is one advantage that I think U.S. air travelers have over their international counterparts, and that's the fact that U.S. carriers, by virtue of our laws and regulations here in the USA, are responsible for the entirety of the assistance journey. And so the buck really stops with the carrier you fly, rather than the airport authority or any number of contractors, as is the case in Europe and around the world. I think it's really important for disabled travelers to be able to point the finger at the person or the company that is responsible for their negative experience. And that hopefully makes it easier to remediate the issues.
If someone is a first-time traveler, flying with a wheelchair, traveling as a disabled passenger, or maybe they're an infrequent traveler, they haven't traveled in quite some time, what can a person do to alleviate some of the stress involved with that whole travel situation?
Well, I think back to my very first flight as a wheelchair user, and I had questions that I think most travelers aren't asking. You know, I mentioned before, I'm an aviation geek. I love airplanes. I read books about them. I know a lot more than the average Joe. And one of the questions that I had very early on is, well, what are the actual dimensions of the cargo hold? You know, I have this really big power wheelchair. How am I going to fit that on the airplane? And so, you know, I researched what the dimensions were and realized that I would need to make some modifications to my wheelchair so that I could ensure it would fit inside. That's a question that most people are not asking. And so I think that, you know, one of the real keys is notifying the airline as far in advance as possible of all the types of assistance you'll need. If you're bringing a power wheelchair like mine, share the dimensions of it. Make sure that it will fit on the aircraft so that you won't have any issues either with being able to fly at all or with potential damage to your mobility device. And ensuring that, obviously, you turn up at the airport in time to avail yourself of all the assistance services that are available. Things can go wrong. Things get delayed. I've documented that very well over the years. But the key is making sure that you have a buffer of time to account for any delays that may occur throughout the process.
Let's talk Vegas. One of my favorite cities. Well, it is my favorite city in the world, favorite enough that I do a podcast about it.
Well, if you didn't say it was your favorite, I'd tell you, you need to change the name of this podcast.
How often do you hit up Las Vegas?
3 to 4 times a year, sometimes more. I remember during the pandemic time, I stayed there a couple times for a month at a time, or nearly a month anyway. Using up as many comps as I could and enjoying the Vegas Sands crowds. It was wonderful.
Basically having the place to yourself.
Exactly.
Tell me about your first trip to Las Vegas. I always love to hear about people's first trips and see exactly what it was that made them fall in love with the city.
Well, I should preface this with the fact that my family, when I was a kid, went every year to Vegas. So I have had experience in Vegas for the vast majority of my life. My first trip as an adult actually occurred after my car accident. I was already on the West Coast for a college football game and decided to stop by Vegas. After the fact, I stayed at the Cosmopolitan. Absolutely loved it. Need to give it a second look now that it's part of MGM. That will be interesting to see how that that comes together. But I really had a wonderful time. Saw, I think, Ka that time. That was in 2014. So, you know, ever since then, I've been going multiple times a year. And I think, you know, I've stored it. I've found a method to the madness, I think. I found casinos that I like to play in. And I'm pretty much a homebody within a casino environment, unless I have friends in town. And then that opens up a lot more opportunities.
My wife and I stayed at the Cosmopolitan for the very first time last year. It was December 2021. And that hotel has wrecked us for every other hotel we've ever stayed at in Vegas. We treated ourselves. We hadn't been in 2 years through pandemic and everything. So when we walked into the room and saw the terrace and the big Japanese tub and all these things, we just went, every other hotel we're going to stay at is trash compared to this place now.
We have arrived.
Exactly. What is it that keeps you going back to Vegas? This is a question that I get asked all the time, and I don't really have a definitive answer for it, but is it the gambling? Is it the food? Is it the people watching? Is it the sights? What is it that keeps you going back?
Well, it's very much all of the above, but I also have fallen in love with gambling. Not in the sense that I don't consider myself a degenerate gambler. I play within my means and have a good time. But I think one of my real joys, I'm a huge points and miles guy, and I love playing the game in Vegas of attempting to squeeze as much as I can out of the casino. It is an absolute joy for me. And, you know, obviously, you know, everything else you mentioned, some of the best food in the nation, incredible shows, and then the people as well. I met so many people in Vegas, through Vegas, on Vegas chat rooms and forums. I love everything about it.
Just going off on a bit of a tangent here, John, talking about being a points guy and trying to squeeze as much as you can out of the hotels and the casinos. Something that a lot of people have talked about, and I've only sort of noticed this just because I've only started getting back to Vegas in the last while. Have you noticed that there seems to be like a real devaluation in the tier rewards programs at the different hotels? It used to be like they were handing stuff out left, right, and center. And now they've almost sort of flipped the switch and said, we don't want to give you the free things anymore.
Definitely. I think that my offers have been curtailed a little bit. I'm not getting as much as I was during the pandemic. And maybe I think 2022 was worse than 2021. Definitely, you know, the demand is there for travelers going to Vegas. It's back. And so I totally understand why casino marketing departments are tightening things up a little bit. They don't have to be as generous as they were.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Have you ever killed a houseplant before? Don't worry, you are not alone. But what if I told you you're not destined to be a plant killer? What if I told you you could not only fill your home with gorgeous, luscious, happy, thriving plants, but live a happier life through caring for them? Hey, new plant friend, my name is Maria. I am a former plant killer turned happy plant lady and host of the Growing Joy with Plants podcast, where it is my life's mission to help you grow happy plants and thrive alongside them. Because when you learn to care for plants, you really learn to slow down, connect with nature, and nurture yourself too. Each week, I share expert tips, inspiring conversations, and soulful planty wisdom to help you grow a greener, happier life. So if you're ready to turn your plant struggles into plant joy and get the green thumb you've always dreamed of, search Growing Joy with Plants wherever you listen to podcasts and hit subscribe. That's Growing Joy with Plants podcast. Let's grow some joy together.
Let's talk about Las Vegas and accessibility. I know in reading your blog, you have said that you think Las Vegas is a great city for wheelchair users and is relatively accessible and is doing a pretty good job of making itself accessible to people with mobility issues. From what I've seen in various Facebook groups that I'm a part of, some people have a little bit of apprehension about traveling to Las Vegas if they've got mobility issues. The city perhaps has this perception of not being all that wheelchair friendly or all that accessible. Let's start with public transportation. I know that this is something a lot of people rely on when they go to Las Vegas in order to make their way around the city. How is Vegas doing when it comes to things like transit, cabs, rideshare, any sort of public transport?
Well, I think public transport itself, the city bus, is fine enough. There are certain times, obviously, I'd like to see greater frequency because, you know, the number of options that are available to disabled travelers, particularly those of us who use these really heavy power wheelchairs that can't be tossed in the trunk of a standard taxi cab. Frequency is really important. And so I think that maybe is one of the challenges that I see in the system. Obviously, things like rideshare, Uber, and Lyft don't have an accessible option in Las Vegas. That's something that I definitely like to see the city and local government work on. Other cities have done it. LA, San Francisco, my home city here of Boston has wheelchair accessible Uber and Lyfts that are actually pretty reliable. I think that could be a real game changer for Las Vegas. But, you know, if you're coming to Vegas to be a tourist and you're going staying on the Strip and you use a wheelchair, I don't think you're going to have any problem finding accessible transportation, whether you want to take a more budget approach with the city buses. Or if you'd like to hail a taxi cab, Desert Cab and some of the other operators out there do have wheelchair accessible vans with ramps and securement spaces for wheelchairs. And I use those a lot when I'm in Vegas.
I am genuinely baffled by the fact that, in a city like Las Vegas that is so heavily geared towards tourists, that there wouldn't be options for accessible rideshare like Uber and Lyft.
Well, I think, you know, generally what it comes down to is a lack of action on the part of local governments. The cities that do have Uber and Lyft that with the wheelchair accessible option, their local governments, city governments have really mandated that into force. And so I'd love to see a little bit of more of a bold approach on the part of the mayor and city council members there. But, you know, at this point, it doesn't exist. So have to rely on an alternative mode of transportation.
It just seems to me like they are missing out on a huge segment of the population that travels to Las Vegas.
Absolutely. I think, I think one of the conversations that I have a lot around accessibility is people say, well, no one requests accessibility, no one uses it. I think one of the challenges is, in order to get disabled people out of their homes and active in our communities and in society, we have to create environments that are accessible to them. So you really do have to put the cart before the horse. We've got to get the wheelchair taxi before we can get the passenger to ride in it.
I was going to say, it's almost kind of like a chicken and egg situation, and that you've got to have one before you have the other in order to make it work.
Definitely.
I know that one of the more popular things to do in Las Vegas, and I certainly enjoy doing this, is just hanging out along the Vegas Strip, just wandering up and down, taking in the sights and sounds, doing some people watching, strolling in and out of casinos, things like that. But to the casual observer, based on the pedestrian overpasses and the lack of street level pedestrian crossings, it seems like that might not be the easiest thing to do for somebody who is in a wheelchair or has mobility issues. How easy or difficult is it to get around in that manner?
Well, the goal, I think, is to ensure that every elevator is functioning. And there's not been a trip to Vegas that I've ever had where I didn't encounter at least one elevator that was broken. And, you know, given the network of these pedestrian overpasses, having one elevator out can cause a diversion that really may take you a mile through another casino or around an entire block. And so that's obviously a real challenge, especially for someone like me who has limited battery capacity in his wheelchair. I can have all the personal energy in the world, but when my battery runs out in the wheelchair, I'm stuck. So that is the greatest concern, is the upkeep of the elevators to those elevated crosswalks, and the long distances. Even when everything is working out, when you all of the elevators are functioning, no other issues to encounter, the Strip is a big place. The distances are incredible. The bridge connections in the city are nice. The monorail is a benefit. But no matter where you want to go, it's a hike, even within your own hotel, to get down to the casino, to the lobby. And I think that really is the biggest barrier to access there, in that it's a pedestrian friendly city in a sense, but maybe not so friendly for people who are relying on mobility devices or just in general have a difficult time walking longer distances.
Thinking about it, in my head, the routes that I take when I go from point A to point B, when I'm making my way around Las Vegas and along the Strip, there's a lot of stairs, there's a lot of steps, there's escalators, things like that. For yourself, I or any other person with mobility issues or wheelchair users, I never even would have thought about the detours that a person would have to take to avoid those spots and the distance that you could be traveling in order to find the most accessible route.
Yeah, it's really tough. You have to adjust when you encounter an elevator that's broken, obviously there's a lot of construction going on in Vegas right now. That's something that folks have to contend with as well, sidewalk closures and the like. And plotting a new course can really be an endeavor sometimes.
Tell me about the accessibility as it pertains to hotels and casinos in Las Vegas. I know you mentioned that you're a bit of a homebody when it comes to your hotel and your home casino when you travel to Vegas. Are they doing all right? Are there any hotels or casinos that are better than others?
Well, I think I'd probably separate out the casino experience itself from the actual hotel accommodation side of things. But there are definitely some hotels that are doing really well on access, some that could be doing better. A couple of my favorite places to stay are fairly good on accessibility. I love the Wynn and Encore property. I also love Caesar's Palace. And interestingly enough, on the other end of the strip, I love the Delano. That's a great all suite hotel that I think provides some outsized value to guests that they might not expect. But there are a lot of things that go into the accessibility of a hotel room, everything from, grab bars, a seat in the shower, space to maneuver a wheelchair. But something that I hear about actually very frequently is bed height. There is a definite movement across the hospitality world to increase the height of beds. And many wheelchair users really need a lower height bed. And so one of the hotels that I really recommend to folks is Harrah's. They have the lowest bed height in their accessible rooms in the entirety of the Vegas Strip. And everything else in the room, accessibility-wise, is pretty up to par as well.
And when it comes to the casinos themselves, then, how are they doing? Is there anything that they could be doing better to make themselves a little bit more accessible?
Well, the casinos themselves, that's where all the fun is. That's where people really want to spend a lot of time. And, I think one of the things that I hear from my readers is one of the biggest challenges is just accessibility, really hasn't been incorporated into things like table games. I love to play table games. I like to play Baccarat and craps in particular. And, if you're sitting down in a wheelchair trying to roll up to the craps table, you'll notice that it's designed for players who are standing. And I think that presents a big challenge. Will casinos, agree to lower a craps table? Probably not, though, it might, be a good idea to look into offering a height adjustable feature on one of those. I think something that we've started to see in terms of making table games more accessible is things like stadium games, where there are individual terminals for placing bets, whether the dealers are live or not. Games like Bubble Craps present, a potentially inaccessible game in a more accessible manner. I think obviously all of these are challenges that can be overcome with a little thought. It's just a matter of whether or not the casinos will be bold enough to incorporate accessibility into future designs.
How about things like shows and attractions? Are there any that you found to be particularly accessible or wheelchair friendly?
Well, I love when I'm in Vegas, I love going to shows. And so that's something that I do, pretty frequently. I think a couple of venues that have really stood out to me would be I think it's recently been renamed the Dolby Theater at Park MGM, and Bally's has a great great event space as well, or Horseshoe now, I guess. MGM Grand, like you said, Ka, that's a great experience. I think with shows in Vegas, I've not really had a bad experience yet. Generally, the ADA accessible seating options are available across all of the price levels in the theater, and there are actually many seats that are pretty good even within those sections. Something that I think about, I met up. This show is gone now, but. I met up with a friend and we went to see Jubilee at the old Bally's, and actually had floor seats directly in front of the stage, which in a lot of venues is not possible. So it was great to have that close to the stage access, where I could just roll my wheelchair right up to one of the tables, enjoy the show with my friends. I think that's really a great example. Obviously, there are some a lot of other cool attractions in Vegas. I one time went on the slingshot ride at the top of the Stratosphere. They actually made some adjustments to allow me to get my wheelchair up to the ride, and I could transfer into it and have a little bit of a thrill. So, I think that there's a lot more that's accessible than people imagine. Down at the Fremont Street Experience, I've ridden the zip line down there, or the Zoom line, as they call it. So many things to do that really are more accessible than people might imagine.
Excellent. John, if people want to find you online, of course, there is the website, wheelchairtravel.org. You are also on social media, correct?
Yeah, Facebook and Instagram, I'm Wheelchair Travel. And on Twitter, I'm WCTravel.org, because there's a character limit.
And you mentioned earlier, John, that if people have questions for you or ideas for new content or want to share their own stories with you, they can reach out to you, assuming they can do that through social media?
Yep, through the social media. Also, give out my email address, mailbag@wheelchairtravel.org. I love hearing from readers and helping people unlock those opportunities, whether it's in Vegas or other cities around the world.
Excellent. John, thank you so much for taking time to come on and have a conversation about this. I really appreciate it. And if your tips and tricks can help just one more person get to Las Vegas, I feel like we've done our job, my friend.
Well, I'm happy to hear it, and wish everyone best of luck in Vegas.
Here in America, work is in trouble. We've offshored our manufacturing, sent away good jobs, and lost so much ability to make things. American Giant is a company that's pushing back against this tide. They make high-quality clothing, sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more, right here in the USA. Visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, promo code STAPLE20.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.